Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we talk about the things we did over the last 2 weeks, including things. We're shaking up the rust. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And one of my responsibilities on this show is to mix the audio, right? And it's not
which if you're the video viewer is going to be like, you're failing. But this is clearly you are just the audio only mixer. Let's get this straight
Let me get that straight. So what it is I have the intro song, right? Our standard Apathetic Enthusiasm song that we've had since day one.
It's like 9 years or something.
Since day one. And but it's only like 30 seconds, 30-45 seconds, right? And so I'm pretty sure the audio clip I have on my little Rodecaster Pro 2 is like, it gets to the end and it cuts off. Right. It's like dun, 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 and then it cuts off. So sometimes when Travis, you're lagging, I'm like manually fading out to try to catch the exact moment. It just cuts out. So I apologize ahead of time if you're like, oh, hey, Brand, stopping the music pretty early. That's my music. That's my chance to shine.
No. Here's what was happening simultaneously, Brandon, is I am using a completely different setup.
Okay.
I'm using a different computer.
Okay.
I'm using a laptop. I'm running everything that is absolutely necessary to produce a podcast in terms of like camera, lighting, audio, like interface, all through this dongle on my laptop. And as you hit go, as that music starts rolling, I see the levels in the broadcaster software that I'm using for that music just off the charts, hitting like red. So I'm like manually trying to adjust the audio capture, like your input. I'm manually trying to lower that down while still trying to be like natural, like, hey, welcome to the show. In this episode, we're talking about adjusting audio levels on the fly while trying to use a system
that makes sense.
The keyboard in front of you has nothing to do with anything else.
It all makes sense now why you're like, the audio only portion is what,
yeah. Assuming we successfully end up with a video version of this podcast, if everything works, there's no telling how the actual audio mix for this episode is going to be. We'll play it by ear.
It'll just be the music blaring and you mouthing things, but nobody knows what it says because they're like, we shut it off 2 seconds
That's extremely possible.
Yeah.
But welcome, everybody. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah.
Regardless of our miscellaneous setups and things that we're trying to do, we're excited to bring you yet another podcast where we talk about everything that's going on in our lives. If you want to share your life with us, I guess, for one, we're flattered. For two, there's many ways that you can do that. You can follow us on the social internet over on X. We're at Apathusiast. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Send us an email, apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. Instagram. We're on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you want to see the poorly mixed audio or on the video version of this podcast, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Or you can support our show, this one, and all of our other podcasts over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to all the patrons. We'll try to get you a post show very, very soon. That is all of the housekeeping out of the way. Brandon is looking around suspiciously. I don't know if there is a small animal that's crept into his studio. What the heck is happening, Brandon?
I'll be honest with you, Travis. We haven't done this show in so long.
It's been 2 weeks to the day.
I don't even know how to do anything on this show anymore. Because you know, here's how I know we don't know what we're doing on this show anymore.
You're getting real rickish there, tell you, Morty.
You're using a laptop, so you clearly forgot about what you're doing on this show.
Over the place.
Usually use your desktop. Travis, why are you using your laptop? Let's go ahead and start with that.
I'm leaving forever. No, I am traveling for work for a few weeks. I am going to be attempting to operate out of a hotel room for a few weeks, but I don't want to stop podcasting. Podcasting is something I love. Talking to you, Brandon, is something that I love.
It's your life.
And we want to continue to produce content, whether we have something to talk about or not.
That's right.
So, honestly, it's almost May. We're a couple of months away from San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
So, starting getting into those rhythms. Hey, what does a mobile setup for podcasting look like? We were able to record some episodes last time. Can we step it up a little bit? Do I bring my audio interface out with me for the next, trip? Do we have an actual setup where we can record some episodes? Who knows? Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Who knows?
Maybe we'll just stare at our cell phones and make micro vlogs throughout the weekend. Who knows?
As long as we don't get our account destroyed again right on the first friggin' day of Comic-Con.
Yeah, on preview day. Let's get our Instagram deleted again.
Jeez, that was awful, God, dude.
I can't believe that was almost a year ago. But the other thing is the desktop computer, I built it 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It's getting a little old. It's getting a little slow.
It was basically at the start of the show, essentially.
I was just a couple years into it. Yeah. It was towards the front of it.
We started in 2015. It's 2024 now. If it's 8 years old, if I'm doing my math right, it's basically 15 years
it's
old.
It's within the first couple of years of the show.
We could talk about this for hours, but we're not going to. There's lots more interesting things for us to talk about. But no, it's time. It's time to get a new computer. I need to get a new computer too. I'm working on this MacBook, and MacBooks are great when you are not gaming, when you need a pretty consistent recording rig for your podcast. But eventually they get outdated too, and you need to upgrade eventually. Mine is still running pretty strong, but I think the main thing with it is the storage. I need additional storage, Travis. How do you feel about it?
You can't just buy a hard drive.
No.
That can't just do that.
No. You can't. I've tried.
I'm with you on the desire to purchase a new computer. But there is something about the computer that I built, this workhorse that's been going for 8 years. And I built a PC, so it was the modability of that, being able to add additional hard drives over time. I've added, this thing's got three or four drives on it now. If I want to game, if I want to update the graphics card on this, that is an option. And then that opens up the ability to play some newer games and things like that if I want. It's going to cost about the same as just buying a new computer. But yeah, like I would like to continue gaming. I would like to be able to do those things. I'd like to get through Baldur's Gate without all of the characters T-posing every time I try to load the game.
Well, the thing about Baldur's Gate, Travis, you know, by the time you get a new system, they'll have crossplay and then we can play it together. And then I could just steamroll through the story and then like have you catch up with me and you'd be like, "You're in combat again? What the? I haven't even gotten off
every time. I'm still trying to talk to somebody over here.
I'm still on the Beholder ship or whatever.
Yeah.
Mind Flayer.
So I bought a laptop probably 2.5-3 years ago. The laptop that I'm recording on right now.
Yeah.
Because I wanted a portable option. I wanted something that if I was traveling, if I was going somewhere, I had, because I mean, desktop is just that. It's a desktop. But then, you know, you're working, you're using it, and then you watch a show on Amazon Prime like Fallout, and you're like, man, it'd be great to play some Fallout again. It'd be great to just load up Fallout 4 or just, which it would probably still run on this computer if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it would.
But I can't do it on the laptop. It's a Mac. I can't. There no Fallout on the Macs.
Yeah.
Not allowed. So then I think, well, do I want a new computer or do I want to step into a new realm of possibilities with something like a Steam Deck, something like a ROG Ally, one of these new, are you familiar with these devices at all, Brandon?
I know a Steam Deck, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's basically
I saw the Alienware like kind of tablet thingamajiggy.
Yeah, a lot of companies, Lenovo I think is releasing one now, but they're basically tiny computers with controllers so that you can do PC gaming on your couch or something like that, right? They're still very new. The battery life is limited on these things. Like some of the capabilities, you're not going to get the same with a gaming laptop or a desktop, obviously. But one of the issues I have with PC gaming is it isolates me from the rest of my family. Like if I want to play a game, I have to come back into my office and go away, everyone. I'm exploring the vaults of Fallout or something like that. So I don't know. That's where my head's at right now with the upgrades is. I think this laptop's still current enough to do the Mac things I need it to do.
Sure.
Does it become the permanent podcasting rig? Probably not. I don't think, but I don't know. Do I upgrade this computer? Do I replace it? Who knows? There's so many options. That's not really the topic of the day, but that's something I'm thinking about.
And there are so many topics. I'll say this about, I agree with you on the PC gaming in like, you know, I come into my office to play music or record something or write a song or come here to podcast, do some projects here and there. And it's separate from everybody. It removes you from it. Like if I were to come in here and play a game, it would be after they've gone to bed. And because because I'm getting old, it's like, 8:30, I'm tired.
I gotta turn in. What
the heck is going on with me? Where I'm like, woo, I'm up till 12. I woke up at 5. Let's go. Now I'm like, let's see what time it is. 7:30. All right. Let me go ahead and put on my slippers and, you know, and turn.
I will say there is still like, there was that period in like our 20s and into our 30s where, oh, everybody's going to bed? Yeah, let me hop on WoW, let me hop on, you know, whatever game you're playing at the time. Everybody's gone to bed, but I'm going to play video games for several hours and then I'll make up that sleep, you know, when I'm dead. and now that time has shifted and it's like 10, 11 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday and everybody's like, "Yeah, woo, weekend." And I'm like, oh, I am ready to retire. I'm ready to go to sleep. But then I wake up at like 6, 7 a.m., sleep in till 8, you know, if it's a real big party and the house is quiet. Nobody's awake.
How fucking weird is this?
I creep into the office here and I'm like, oh, let's catch up on some X-Men 97 with my bowl of cereal and my black coffee. Let me play a few rounds of Pixelborn on here or something. And so, it's different. It's the quiet time in the morning when I can get that alone gaming time in, as opposed to late at night.
And I talked about this like an episode or two ago with me in Sizemore playing at like board game arena at 4 or 5 in the morning for a couple hours. So like, all right, well, guess I got to go to work now, you know? And it used to be like, woo, let's stay up to 1. Oh, guess I got to go to sleep so I can wake up for work, you know? Yeah. So it is strange because same thing, like I've been playing, I started playing Slay the Spire again. And I was playing some Vampire Survivors and it's like, I wake up at 6. I'm like, well, I'm awake. Guess I'll play video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the other side of the coin, I have gone like turn on my Xbox at like 9:30. And I turn it on. I'm like, I'm going to play a game. And I look at the games. I downloaded Fallout 76 again. I'm like, I'll check it out again. Right. You know, there's been a lot of updates supposedly. And then I downloaded it. And by the time it was downloaded, I'm like, yeah, I started it. Like, I don't want to play this.
this isn't actually what I want. This isn't actually what I want. Yeah. Which you bring up an interesting point. Talking about Max, talking about PC gaming, talking about Rogue Allies and Steam Decks. I do not have a current gen console in my house. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you don't count the Switch, which I mean, I don't. PS5, Xbox, whatever it is now. I don't have either of those. So, I mean, if I'm trying to fill a gaming void, maybe that's the direction I need to move.
I mean, I think there are rumors
we
about
could actually game together again.
There are rumors about the Switch 2 coming out eventually, so you probably could wait for that. You know, like it would be nice to play video games with you again someday, but
yeah.
You know, the thing about a console too is you would be playing it in your living room where your family is watching TV all the time. So, you know, like it's the same issue. It's a similar issue where like
I could put it in my bedroom.
Oh, that's a bad idea. Let me tell you, you will fall asleep so fast if it's in your bedroom.
it speaks the man from experience, I'm sure. Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about, I mentioned Sizemore, you know, playing games with Sizemore. Guess who I played games with in person last week?
Your brother Brett.
Travis, I gave you all the hints.
Sizemore's brother.
Yes. Yeah. Ross Sizemore.
Yes. The other Sizemore.
Yeah. So Matt came into town to see his family. And I didn't think I was going to see him, right? I didn't think I was going to see him. He was busy. He had
it's easy to miss. He's small.
he's
sneaky.
He's so small.
Hard to see.
His last name is Sizemore, but you wouldn't know that because he's so small and sneaky.
Well, like size less, am I right?
You're right. You the letter U R the letter R ite. yeah. So here's how this. I didn't think I was going to see him. He was in town. He was spending time with his mom and dad and his brother. And his ex-wife was also with him with their kid. Not going into that, but she was out here. She was helping with the child. They don't live together. It's not a thing. It's fine. But anyway, so I didn't think I was going to see Matt because people suck. And like, you know, he's spending time with his family, right?
Yeah. Giving him that space.
Giving him that space. So Monday night rolls around. This is last week, mind you, everybody. Last week, Monday night,
We weren't recording.
Travis hits me up in the middle of the day. He said, "Hey, Brandon, I got to cancel on you. You know, I got a lot of stuff to do. I hope.
Got a lot of irons in the fire. my wife's out of town. I got kids to feed. I don't know.
This podcast is important to me, and I feel really bad about it, Brandon, but you know, I got to cancel on you tonight." And I said, "Travis, I understand. We've been doing this a long time. Like, if you say you can't do this, then you can't do this. I know this about you, right? That's the kind of level
of
trust.
We've never canceled just because we didn't feel like doing it.
Right. No, we have reasons because this is our life. We make so much money off this show that if we miss an episode, we're in debt for months. And it's
my kids don't eat. So.
They don't eat.
Yeah. Anyway. So go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks for listening to those ads at the top of the podcast.
So we decided not to record Monday night. And so I'm making dinner, right? I'm making dinner for Chelsea and the kid. I'm making some leftover chicken in a skillet. And then I have some a big thing of kimchi. So I make some kimchi chicken with some ramen, some ramen. And I saute the ramen. And right. So I'm making all this stuff up. And I get a message from Matt, and he says, "Me and Ross, his brother, we're on our way to trivia night."
"Hey, me and Ross, we're headed to trivia night."
And I say, "What, really?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, what time is it?" "It's in 30 minutes. In La Crescenta?" "Yeah." "Okay, I'm on my way." He's like, "What?" Like, "Yeah, I wish you had told me 20 minutes ago." He's like, "Oh, sorry." Like, if you knew you go to trivia night, just you two, why don't you tell me, man? Why don't you give me a heads up? Anyway, so I said, "Hey, Chelsea, gonna go see Matt." She said, "Okay, be safe." I'm like, "Nope." And I left I turned the burner up as high as it could go, and I just ran away. So I drove over.
Sticking forks in all the outlets.
Pouring gas fluid,
gas fluids. That's right.
Okay. Anyways. Okay. So I drive up to La Crescenta for trivia night, and it's Ross, Matt, and one of Ross's friends, and guess what, Travis? We won that trivia night. The four of us.
Wow.
That's right.
It's good to know someone on this podcast is a winner.
Now. There's a couple signs here. As I'm driving to La Crescenta, there's a Steely Dan song playing called Deacon Blues. And Deacon Blues says, "They've got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues." And I love the song. It's also where I found out that Alabama is called Crimson Tide. But also, Chelsea had said at one point in time,
because you don't watch sport,
she said, "Call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Brandon Cruz." I'm like, "Oh, hey, that's cool. That fits perfectly." So I always think of that when I listen to that song. So that song was on there, and Matt said, "Hey, don't jinx it. You know, we want to win this thing." I'm like, "Okay, all right." So trivia night, I'm usually pretty good at trivia. There was zero I was good at in this trivia. The closest I came was knowing Wes Anderson a little bit, but I'm not a Wes Anderson fan. So it was like the question was, name five of the Wes Anderson movies since 2013 that star Tilda Swinton and Edward Norton. And I'm like, Fantastic Mr. Fox. That's about all I know. Do you know Moonrise Kingdom is one? Asteroid City is one.
Asteroid City was pretty good. I mean, mostly.
And there's two others. One that another animated one, and then there's one other.
Was it the one with the dogs?
Maybe, maybe
that's, I think that's the other animated one.
Yeah, I think that's right. Anyways, I had said, man, I really wish I liked Wes Anderson more for this question, which, hey, shout out to Ryan McGovern. Doesn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but he loves Wes Anderson.
So we ended up winning. The winners got, the winner got an elephant coffee mug. And then the second place got a whiskey stones. And then I don't know what third place got. So as second place is leaving, they're like, all right, have a good night. Hey, does anybody want these whiskey stones? I'm like, I'll take those whiskey stones. Sure. And they're nice whiskey stones, right? There's a 12 of them. They're stones. They're in a square. They look like dice, right? Tell you what, I don't use them. They're actually not that useful. I'm not a fan, to be honest. I've tried them a couple times. They're just like, it's like rocks in my glass.
Well, I mean, that's literally what they are.
Whiskey rocks.
Do you get them? Do you put them in the freezer?
Yeah. So what you do is, again, there's 12 of them. There's a little burlap, little sack. So you rinse them off. You put them in the sack, you put them in the freezer, right? And so whenever you're going to drink your scotch whiskey all night long and die behind the wheel, which is a Deacon Blues line, just to, you know, bring it back.
Thank you for the callback.
You take a couple of those stones, you put them in your glass, and then you let it sit there for a couple of minutes to cool down the whiskey, and then you drink your whiskey, right? Well,
without
dilution.
Diluting, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. However, most whiskey drinkers will tell you that a small splash of water or a little bit of ice will help open up some of the flavors in the whiskey.
So I think that's why you're supposed to rinse the stones before you put them in the sack, because then when you...
It creates a small layer of water.
The right amount of dilution for your whiskey of choice.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm glad I have them because I got them for free. I will use them very sparingly. Anyways, what have you been up to, Travis? Are you a winner like I am?
I am not, Brandon. I am a big old loser. So this last weekend, this is the obligatory Travis is still obsessed with Lorcana segment. But with special reasoning, because these last 2 weeks were what were known as set championships, right? So this is the first time since Lorcana's come out that they have had an organized tournament set up for local game stores that carry Lorcana, that have regular meetings with folks that play there. So they provided prizes to these stores to host tournaments where winners of the tournament, the top four winners, each got an exclusive enchanted Rockstar Stitch card. So, Rockstar Stitch is a card from the first set of Lorcana. This was an alternate art shiny holographic card that you could only get by winning one of these or coming in the top four of one of these tournaments. And then the top two people got a playmat with that Rockstar Stitch artwork on it. First place, there's a champion up in the corner, and then the other one just is the playmat itself. So this was advertised for a while, that knew that this was going to be happening. My son and I were like, yes, we definitely need to sign up for this tournament. Anytime I'm going to sign up for a Lorcana tournament, I'm going to pay twice as much. Because anytime I'm going to go to a tournament, I'm also going to bring my son, which is totally fine. It's totally cool. But it also like limits my willingness to be like, I'm going to go around the city and play in every tournament I can, because I know I'm then like doubling that. Right.
Yeah.
And also, as much as I love Lorcana, as much as I love playing, I have other things that I'm committed to in my life. So I wasn't willing to drop everything else to hit up four or five tournaments in the span of 2 weeks, because there was a set 2 week period where you could go and stores could hold these tournaments. And I do have people that I know that I've gotten to know through this community that they did that. They spent the couple weeks going to four or more tournaments.
Which Brandon,
Lorcana Brandon, shout out to Lorcana Brandon. One of the guys that I play with regularly is named Brandon. He is now, within the context of this podcast, known as Lorcana Brandon.
Lorcana Brandon.
But he's a great guy. He's pretty competitive. He actually played the week prior in a tournament where he got I think he got first place. He definitely got a play mat and the stitch card. So he had already had it. Right. And we've challenged each other a few times, like building up to this tournament, and he's given me advice about my decks, and I've beaten him a few times with that deck. So I was like, hey, this is cool. Like, maybe I've got a shot here. So it all comes down to this last Saturday, when the store that we usually play at was holding their tournament. We show up, and there were, I think, 34 people registered for the event, which is more people than I've ever seen in one place playing Lorcana. And there were a lot of people that were obviously not regulars there, because we only have maybe like 12 to 15 on like a really busy weekend that show up. But yeah, so a lot of new faces, and like the energy's up, right? Because it's a tournament. There's prizes on the line. Along with those prizes that I talked about, the store is also giving away like boxes of cards and lots of other like goodies. Other incentives.
Goodies,
so,
and knickknacks.
Goodies. And so my son's really excited. I'm really excited. So we get there. It's time to play. My first game, I'm a little nervous, but the person that I'm playing against is real nervous, and I'm breaking the ice. I'm trying to be like, hey, how's it going? Like, have you done something like this before? He's like, this is the first time I've ever played outside of my house. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, I usually just play with my wife, and this is the first time I played outside of the house. He was like, his hands were like shaking. Like, oh. So like he was like real nervous.
Wow.
So I'm trying to be real nice. I'm trying to be like cool about everything. There's some like ways that he played the game that were not like technically right. Like when you build up your resource pool, it's called your inkwell. You're supposed to put all your cards face down in your inkwell. He was like putting them face up, and I was like, I don't want to like this guy that's never played. Like, I don't want to be like, actually you're supposed to have those face down. And like, so like I'm trying to be cool, but that changes very rapidly when he beats me in like five turns, because he's playing like a hyper aggressive deck with a bunch of low cost characters that he can just ramp up points. And I know it's one of the few types of decks that my deck was weak to. Mm. So he comes out, and these tournaments are played in a three game format, right? So first game, he gets out early, and in like five or six turns, he's got the win. And I'm just like, okay, reassess what is going on here. Second game pops up. I'm a little bit more prepared for it. I draw some better cards into my hand, and I'm able to mitigate that early rush of points. He still gets up to like 10 points in the first, you know, four turns. But at that point, my deck is designed to eliminate his characters and then control the board and continue to get rid of characters as he's bringing them out, which then allows me later on to progressively build up those points and win the game, which is exactly what happened in that second game. And so third game comes up. It's kind of like a coin flip. We roll the dice to see who goes first. He wins that that die roll and ultimately wins the game. Just again, having a really aggressive hand and me not getting some of the cards I needed to mitigate that. So I lose my first round and I'm like, I had a lot of confidence going into this tournament, but I was like, I was shaken at that point.
And
I was
like, okay, judge, he's not playing it right.
He didn't flip his ink over. I need him to be disqualified, please. But I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll shake this off.
Yeah.
Second round comes up and I do not draw an opponent. Apparently someone had dropped out of the tournament. We had an odd number, and out of the 33, 34 people left, 33, I guess, I was the one that was the odd person out, and I drew a bye for the second round, which apparently just counts as a win. So I got an automatic win for the second round. And an opportunity to just walk around and look at all the other people playing and kind of just see what other decks were out there and see what's going on.
Travis, talk about Club 33, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would love to go to Club 33. Don't get me started.
You're part of Club 33 already. Maybe you can go to the Disney website and say, look, I drew a bye because there's 33 of us.
Because there are 33 people, I think you should let me into your very exclusive restaurant.
For free.
Thank you. And if you could buy me merch as well, I'd appreciate it. So anyway, second round, get a bye. Caleb, my son, also lost his first round. So I was watching him in his second round because I had, the free time. And he's playing very well. He's playing against somebody that... didn't really have a lot of answers for the cards in his deck, and he won two games straight, just like right off the bat. And so I was like, all right, good. We're both going into the third round, 1-1. The other thing I learned about this, like, have you heard of Swiss tournaments and how they work?
No.
In terms of like, so
even if I had, I want you to tell me now.
Okay. So basically everybody starts, clean slate. Random matchups. And then in a Swiss style tournament, if you win your first game or your first round, you are going to be paired up with someone else who also won their first round. Right?
Okay.
If you lost your first round, you're going to play against somebody who lost their first round. So it basically takes all the 1-0 people and they play each other, and then all the 0-1s. And then after that round, now some people are going to have two wins. Some people are going to have two losses. There's going to be a bunch of people that are 1-1. And then you're going to play in that third round, people with the same record as you again. So the people with two wins, right? And so as you progress through the rounds, the people you're playing against also have similar records or things like that.
It doesn't mean you have to be perfect the entire time, right? Yeah. It sounds like it's a way to gauge a better overall skill for the folks at the top, right? Because you're not number one and number one are challenging each other in the first round. Oh, he's gone. He's out of the... Now what? Right. And then eventually somebody who like me would get to the top, the cream rises to the top, they say, and then like get destroyed. Like why was Brandon there? How did he get there in the first place? Well, because he kept playing people who suck as well.
And it does kind of help like auto sort the player base. Right. So that if you have somebody that's consistently losing, they're not going to be playing the people that are consistently winning, and then providing opportunities for like an easy win for some of the better players. It's continuing to match up those better players with the other players that are doing well to determine which of them are going to have that highest record. Right. And so that's how it went. So we played five rounds, I'm not going to break down every round for you, but I mean, first round I lost, second round I got that bye, third round I played against a guy, I beat him 2-0. Like I just took both games, felt really good. Like he was definitely a good player that I could tell had some experience, and it was a game where I just knew I had a good deck. I knew what I was, how to play that deck, and I won that game like well. Like I did well. So then I'm moving into round four. Now I'm 2-1. And who do I draw in round four? None other than
Lorcana
Brandon. Lorcana Brandon.
Lorcana Brandon.
We were really hoping not to get paired up in the general like sorting rounds, because we knew then if we had to play each other, we were going to hurt the other person's chances of making that top eight. We played three games. I won game one, he won game two, and in the third game, he ended up eking it out and taking that third game that set me at 2-2. So in my fifth game, I played, I basically just played for pride, because I at that point I was pretty much eliminated from making the top eight.
Yeah.
But I ended up winning that round as well, 2-1 in a third game. So I ended up placing 14th overall in the tournament. Had like the same score as like the 12th place people, which got prizes. I didn't get prizes because I was 14th.
Yeah.
When all the math shakes out, it's but I learned a lot. I learned about the environment. I learned some things to expect. I learned that if you do really well and like win your first four games, it's very common for people to intentionally draw in their fifth game. So like all the people at the top, like eight to 10 people will intentionally not play and just take a draw, because in this tournament math, a draw is worth more than a loss. So if they have four wins and a draw, it's better than four wins and a loss, basically. And that like guarantees them staying up at the top of the leaderboard and getting into that top eight. So I've seen a lot of people on the social medias in the groups that I'm following who are new to this, like really salty about people doing intentional draws in order to get in the top. But that is something that apparently happens in every card game, and just something I'm gonna have to get used to if I continue to do this recreationally.
But, yeah, you know, yeah. That's the thing about any game, right? Is there are certain things that people frown upon frown upon. They're like, don't do that. My dad and I were talking about we were joking about putting a new engine in our Corvette, right? This isn't a game thing, but similar, where we're talking about, joking about putting a new engine in our Corvette, a larger one. We have a family friend who has an engine that he would sell. The thing is the Corvette being a Chevy, the guy's engine is a Ford, and we could put that Ford engine in this Corvette and it would be a bigger engine. But Corvette people would be like, I'm going to follow you home and I'm going to murder you. You do not
slash all of your tires. And this thing is not leaving this parking lot.
You do not put anything Ford in a Chevy product. Another thing is like a Ticket to Ride. So Matt and I play Ticket to Ride all the time. Basically I'm playing him right now. Not as we speak, but like we have a game right now, which I've just blocked the shit out of him. So if you've never played a Ticket to Ride, it's the map of the United States, and you're basically building railroads across the United States to different destinations. But some of the paths you can only use once. So if you're playing a two-player game and you block somebody's path, you're like, they have to go a completely different way. Well, if you want to be a particularly huge asshole, like I was to Matt in this game right now, you can see exactly what he's trying to do and then block all of those routes. So he is completely screwed. And what happens is, so you draw destinations at the start of the game. If you don't meet those destinations at the end of the game, you lose those points. I plan for Matt to lose all his points in this game. but like in a tournament setting, that's heavily frowned upon, right? It's like you can block if it's in the nature of you trying to get your own destination, but if you're like going out of your way to block another player, that's not cool. But there's rules, you know.
As I'm sitting there in game five and I'm playing my game and I look up across the room and I see, you know, eight dudes with their backpacks on just kind of like hanging out chatting, and I know that those are all the top players in the tournament, is there a part of me that's like, man, if one of those guys played and lost, like, who knows, there's a chance I could be up there or something, right? But in the same breath, if I had beaten the aggro deck in round one, mm-hmm. right? If Lorcana Brandon had made a mistake and I had beaten him in that game, would I have been like, oh, no, sir. Though I know that mathematically an intentional draw will guarantee my shot at being in the top eight, my principles are too strong, and I insist that we must. No, I'd be standing up as well and enjoying a break before the top eight competition, right? Like I mean the fact that there was a variety of skill sets there. There were kids playing with like decks that they like, I don't know if they built them themselves or what, but like there was a variety of skill sets and a variety of types of decks. So some people had easier matchups. Like that is the nature of the event. And when you add randomness to it, like, but those people still had to win those matchups. They still had to win those games. And then as it continually gets harder and they're paired against, you know, people with similar records, they continued to win those games as well. And so, you know, did I walk away with any prizes? No. Did I walk away with an experience of learning a lot and getting to do, if you had asked me in November of last year if I'd ever be in a trading card tournament in April, I would have said I don't even know what that is. But here we are, you know, just a few short months later, and we're having a blast. I'm kind of bummed that I am going to have to travel here for a little while, because it is going to affect like how much I get to play around here locally.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You got
here locally.
Because here now locally. Here's the thing, you know, poor Caleb, you can now travel around your work trip and do some tournaments in that area by yourself.
You better believe I'm bringing cards in my suitcase. Those coming with me.
But I've also set up Pixelborn. I mentioned it earlier, is the online version of the game. Me and my son did a test where I was on the laptop, he was on my desktop, and we started a private game where we could play each other. So we'll still get our games in just via the internet. Now we just got to get Brandon to sign up. Not Lorcana Brandon. He's already in Pixelborn. We just got to get Brandon in. You know that if our sons are hanging out this summer, your son's going to learn how to play Lorcana.
Yeah, no,
going to happen.
Every time I pass a Lorcana deck, I'm like, I should probably get that. And then I'm like, no, nah, it's okay.
It's smart. That's smart.
It's because then it's like, it's committing me to like having to spend time with my kid. And you know, I just don't want to do that.
I understand. I understand. I genuinely think that might be part of the reason Sheena like is so adamant about not learning how to play, is because she doesn't want to get hooked and then be like another person aggressively pursuing getting cards and things like that, which I don't think is her personality. I think I could just be like, Sheena, here's all of my decks that I have. Just play with any of them that you want. Like, use any, like, my cards are your cards. Anything you want to use. Yeah. Just play this game.
It's in our vows.
Yes. Yeah. In sickness and in health, to shuffle and deal.
So we talk about the summer, our sons getting to hang out again. So yeah, like Comic-Con is the summer. And one of the things about the Comic-Cons is we always do this. We always go to the game room and I want to play those games. And we just walk around the room, look at the games, and be like, no, we're not going to do that.
Right. This is my experience over the last 3 to 4 months has definitely changed my apprehension in sitting down with a stranger and playing a game with them.
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at is, you know, you have that now and you're more likely to like pull us into it and be like, hey, yo, we can sit down. Cause I want to sit down and I want to play those games with strangers because I want to learn new games. I want to see what else is out there, but I just, you know, it's just, it's to be like, oh, what's going on with Chelsea? Like, is she uncomfortable? Like, is the kid uncomfortable? Like, does he want to do something? And I'm like, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. And I don't want to be uncomfortable having them be uncomfortable. Let's get out of here. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same thing, like when you and I were walking through it, I'm like, I want to sit down and play one of these games, but I also don't want Travis to be uncomfortable, which would make me uncomfortable. And maybe the person who's playing with us uncomfortable, let's just go.
The person that's literally there to show off the game and teach you how to play it.
Hey, look, anxiety is not a logical thing.
This is fair. This is fair. But anyway, so that is the big story of the Lorcana Set Championships. Congratulations to anyone in the world that won one of those cards or one of those playmats. I mean, I could still go get one. I just have to drop like, you know, $400 on eBay or whatever which I will say, like the fact that the resale market on those prizes is a playmat and a card is like going for like 900, I think it was earlier. So, worthwhile prizes. Like they like, good for the people that put in the work and got out there to get them. Right. I'm hopeful that the company continues to run promotions like that and continue to create prizes, to make more tournaments. Cause it was a lot of fun.
For sure, man. For sure. Yeah. You know, like while you were doing that, I'm going through like a renaissance of life right now. And when I say that, I mean, I'm just doing a bunch of shit that I'm not good at, but I'm still trying it anyways. So
do we call that a midlife crisis or are we there yet?
No. Are
we on the other side of it now?
That was my last year, as you know. So I think that, here's what's going on. I'm gardening. I'm trying to grow plants. I'm trying to get better at growing plants. I'm dipping my
all 100% legal plants. Yes.
I'll get into all the details. Right. There's no ganja in this the plant growing. Woodworking and a car mechanic stuff. And 3D printing, obviously. So let's start with the gardening. So the gardening, I'm like, you know, I want to plant some stuff. I want to grow some food. And my parents went to Louisiana for 2 weeks. And my mom was like, water these plants. You know, that's all I ask. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I went over there a couple days a week, watering her plants. And then like the plants grew and they're like, they're kicking ass. They're like, they're blooming like no one's business. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, yeah, I want to do that at my house. So I start, you know, getting some pots and putting some soil in there, planting like jalapenos and tomatillos and tomatoes and jalapeno, all that stuff. And, but they're like kind of like all spread about in my backyard. They're like somewhere like on a brick wall. Like I've got a plant on my deck. And like, you know, like what I could really use is like a stand-up planter, like an elevated planter. And so I'm like, you know what? I want one of those. Maybe I could build one. And I went with Chelsea to Lowe's one day. I looked at the wood and I was like, she's like, eh, why don't you just buy one? Just buy one. Like, okay. All right. So the following weekend, I went to Home Depot and I was like, let me see how much an elevated planter is. It was like $150, $160. Like, God, I'm not going to spend that kind of money. I'll use my brick wall on my deck. That's fine. But then I was looking at how cheap the wood was and like how cheap the planters were made. I'm like, this is the shittiest wood that they've used for these planters. This can't be that difficult. So I took a picture of one of them and I was like, all right, I could do this. So last weekend, I spent all of my Sunday like sawing wood, measuring and putting together an elevated planter. And I did it. I'm like, yes.
And is it still standing?
It's still standing. It's good, man. It's good. It's
Let's
good.
Go.
It's good quality. However, it's too deep and I didn't create bins for it yet, right? So really there's no place for the dirt to go. It's just basically like kind of like a half-assed crib, essentially, right now. So what I was doing, like the things I had on my deck and the brick wall, I set them across the width of it. And so they're just kind of like sitting up there and it was like, this isn't very good at all. And like things were like one of my pots fell down. I'm like, I got to do something to it. And so this last weekend, what I did was like I had old TV dinner trays, the wooden dinner trays you get at like a Target.
Okay.
We bought some new ones not too long ago. So I had the old ones in the garage. I'm like, you know what? I got an idea. So I took the tops off and then on the bottom side, I put two slats of wood to make like kind of slots. And now they sit across the top of the planter bed, right? Where now those long kind of plastic planters things will sit on there. But then I was like, I moved it around, like one almost fell off. I was like, oh crap, I need a way to keep this thing on there. So then I built some more slats to put on top of the tabletop to make sure that planter doesn't fall off when I set it on top, right? And it elevates it a little bit so the water can drain down underneath. none of my plants are growing, mind you, but but you know, like it's like a Frankenstein's monster of this stuff. Okay. So that's going good. Now, yesterday I was like, a week ago, I downloaded this PLA model of this like this cyborg, this badass cyborg. And I was like, I'm going to spend the money. I'm going to print this out. Right. And so, video watchers, you'll see this multi-part like mech thing I printed out, right?
Over, that looks so good.
Over 2 days. So this is actually orange plastic underneath it. So I primed it, right? Primed it with gray sandable primer. And this is where the story takes us next. I'm like, I need, since I'm woodworking, since I'm already destroying these dinner trays, I need like a paint station. So I Frankenstein the shit out of two of these things and I made my, I don't have a picture of it, but I have my own little spray paint station using these dinner trays. Half-assed. Everything is half-assed that I'm doing. Mile wide, quarter inch deep. So fun. So fun. And I'm good at making chimichurri too. That's unrelated to all of this.
Man. I mean, it's funny. It's funny because you joke about mile wide, quarter inch deep or whatever, but I think we're very similar in that curiosity, right? That you see something, you're like, how does that work? Let's figure it out. Let's make it right. And then you're like, oh, well, I really want to learn how to build that. Or I want to learn how to, you know, print that 3D model. And then now I need to learn how to paint it. Now that I've painted all of these models, I need a shelf for them to sit on. So let me learn how to build that. Well, oh, but my yard, I need a garden. Or, oh, well, I really like Disney and I really like games. And now there's a Disney game. Well, I should at least get a deck and learn how to play it. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm, you know, and so,
well, now I need a carrier for my decks. And like, yeah, now I need a place to store all of the carrier decks.
Well, maybe I can 3D print a box for the decks to go into. but then the box, you know, it holds two decks. And so I need to print dividers that'll separate the decks. These are great, by the way, but
yeah, I believe it.
I've upgraded. Anyway, it's that curiosity and that fascination with so many things that like we're so interested in. And so like podcasting's part of it, and like movies, TV, Twilight Zone, like, you know, anything. And then you're like, wow, I know this much, like a little bit about so many things. Am I the best at any of them? No, I'm about 14th out of 32. But you show
anybody who's an expert in the thing that you're just exploring, and they'd be like, "Ew, that's not very good." So, like my brother-in-law Howie, I showed him my crib elevator planter yesterday, and I could tell he was not impressed by it, right? But but I'm like,
not a good poker face on Howie.
Yeah. You know, he was like, you know, good job. Like you're working on it, right?
Solid effort.
But that's okay, because I'm not trying to be the professional woodworker. I'm trying to just see what it takes to do that stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
I bought a table saw just to, you know, just do these sound panels in my office, and I'm like, well, now I've got this thing. I should see, like, I should do other projects just to see what I can do, right? And yeah. And like the more of these little skills that you build up on, you're like, okay, if there ever comes a time where I need to replace drywall, like I have two 2x2 drywall squares in my garage, because I, you know, eventually I have to put drywall up in my garage. And I just have them there because one of these days I'm going to be like, how the fuck do I do this? All right. I'm going to just try it out. I'm going to spend my time and I'm going to try to figure out how to do this, because even if I do it half-assed, I will understand how it happens, how it works. So when somebody who's professional comes in, I can be like, that's crappy. You half-assed. I could have done that, right? And pay them three times less.
There you go. So that's the moral of this episode, is if there's something you're interested in, something you're passionate about, go after it, check it out, give it a shot. Are you going to be the best at it? Certainly not at first, but if it's something you love, it's worth your time and it's worth your effort. Just like this podcast that we managed to make. That's going to do it for this week. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, like, do all the things, leave a comment, let us know what pursuits, what passions you're getting into. If you're an audio listener, whatever platform you're listening on, if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. It definitely helps. Rate, review, do all those things on those platforms as well, because it definitely helps other folks find the podcast. We appreciate it. We're going to head over and do a Patreon exclusive post show now. If you want to catch those post shows, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you all for listening to all of this.
Yeah. Thanks for getting to the end. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Is it reaching the cutoff? I faded too. It wasn't fast enough. I didn't fade fast enough.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.